There's a lot of talk going around, and it seems like we always come back to this discussion sooner or later at family dinners or when we're out at a restaurant. And sometimes it's helpful, and other times it turns just into a sort of complaining session. Sometimes it gets downright contentious. But the subject often happens to be about entitlement. Whole generations get stereotyped. How many times have you or I said, young people these days seem entitled to things. They don't want to work for it, like in previous generations. We click our tongues at entitled elites, people who feel entitled to benefits, the entitled who work in Congress or in the West Wing. And we rightly, in my view, worry about this sense of entitlement. We worry, and I think there is a good case to worry about this, about everybody in the gym class getting a trophy, whether they've done anything or not. Everybody getting a diploma, whether they've passed the course or not, or a certificate, no matter how little effort was put into the project. And I think that's good for us to have a conversation about that and what that means, but it does run right smack into John chapter 3, verse 34, this challenging phrase, and this is the phrase that David Ackerman points out in his commentary, Beyond the Lectionary, runs into this challenging phrase, and it's a good one. In John's Gospel it says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks of the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." In some translations, it's not without limit, it's without measure. It's overflowing and abundant Spirit. He gives the Spirit without counting the cost. Now, I don't know. The Bible seems to be saying here that Jesus sends out the Holy Spirit overflowing and effervescently. And really, that's what we need, isn't it? We need a pouring out of the Holy Spirit without measure. That's what we want. We want people to understand that God is a God of giving, as I talked about with the kids. We may not get what we want, but we get what we need. And that's what we say we believe about God, that God deals with us where we are. That's the important thing about the gospel. Jesus loves the little children. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what language they speak. But Jesus loves us. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That word, translate the world in Greek, is cosmos, which basically means everything created. It's not just the world as we talk about, you know, the world, earth, or even our solar system. It means everything that is created. God so loved everything that he created that he gave his only begotten Son. So we talk about a God of abundance, a God who gives beyond measure, who gives the Spirit. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And there's something about that, in that, that rebels in us, that we think isn't quite fair, that maybe the just should get some more rain than the unjust. Somehow it seems like it's not fair that God's Spirit is poured out without measure. But if we think about it, in the context of John's gospel, it's true. It's interesting to me. Think about this for a second. Just do a little thought experiment. If today we found out that there was a huge load of natural gas right out there in front of the sidewalk, a huge, gigantic deposit of shale, which could be used for fracking, right outside in front of the church, we would have people knocking down the door saying, "Hey, we want to drill here. What can we do to pay you? What can we do to work with you and partner with you to get at that natural gas, at that natural resource. Yet when we say as Christians that we found the Spirit and that God pours out upon all His creation the love and the way to eternal life, it doesn't matter how much you get paid for fracking, because at the end of the day, that doesn't change your soul at all. That doesn't change your eternal destiny. But we have found the Spirit. We Christians have found the Spirit, and it has been poured out upon us without measure and without limit. And the sound is crickets. It's very different than the gas companies beating a path to our door. You'll notice that Jesus says God has poured out the Spirit. That God pours out His Spirit through Jesus, and that from heaven comes the key to living a holy, just, good, happy, joyful, meaningful life. Not only on this side of the Jordan River, but also the world beyond this one. And you would think that if Jesus indeed holds the key to eternal life, and that that Spirit for eternal life overflows, that people would be knocking over each other to tap into that Spirit. Yet I propose that our world in 2017 is in part so confused, so hateful, so warlike, because we're not gathering together to receive what God has sent. We're not gathering together to meet Christ and the Spirit here. And I don't mean us. This isn't a judgmental thing on us. But it's just an observation of the world in which we live. It's possible to miss out on the blessings of the Spirit being poured out. It's possible to miss out if you don't show up. You can miss out on the Spirit giving you what you need. You don't know what Sunday it might be that the Spirit shows up. Some Sundays, the preaching hits you in a place where it doesn't do anything, and it sort of bounces off you, and you say, well, the preacher must have had an off day. But some Sundays, the preacher says something, and it may not even have been all that important what he or she said. It's just a little tiny part of the sermon. Tiny part that maybe was a throwaway comment, but that convicts you. And that moment is a seed that is planted, and you say, that speaks to my spirit. But you can't tell ahead of time which Sunday it's going to be. It would be a lot easier if you could just call up Joseph. Is it going to be this Sunday? No, it's not this Sunday. Okay, I'll come next week. Doesn't work that way. The Spirit shows up when the Spirit wants to show up. And I can't predict, nor can you, what Sunday the hymn is going to leave you cold, or that hymn is going to move you into some point of greater and deeper spirituality. God's Spirit may speak to you today in a way that He hasn't spoken to you in years, or that may not happen at all today, and it may be 2-3 weeks down the road, or it may be a few months down the road, or it may be next year. But if we don't avail ourselves to the opportunity, if we don't say, God, I'm open to your Spirit being poured out, I guarantee you it won't happen at all. And sometimes, instead of holding open ourselves for the Spirit, gathering buckets like rain, hoping to catch all that rain in a bucket, hoping to catch that Spirit in a bucket, you know, instead, we let the Spirit flow through our fingers. We're unprepared. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm ready, God. I'm ready for your Spirit. I've got this bucket. We'll put Bible study in it. We'll put church attendance in it. We'll put giving in it. I'll put all this stuff, talking with other Christians, giving to the United Church of Christ in the Philippines, our partner church. I'm going to put all this stuff in a bucket, and I'm going to see how your Spirit fills up that bucket. Sometimes, well, I'm ready, God. Pour it out. Go ahead, I'm ready. Just open up the fire hose, and it drips through our fingers. We may get a little wet. We may feel a little bit better. Maybe we don't feel better at all. Maybe we just wipe it on our shirts and dry ourselves off. But God pours out the Spirit without measure. I've heard of different churches trying to deal with this. Some churches teach a prayer called examine, where at the end of the day, you go back through by yourself. At the end of the day, right before you fall asleep, you go back through the events of the day and try and picture where the Spirit was available to you there that day. That seems like a good method to me. I've known other churches that every time they gather, whether it's for consistory or Bible study or property committee meeting, they ask, where did you see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, today or since the last time we met? It's called Spirit sightings. Another really good model. When Jennifer and Miriam and I were in Germany, 2003-2004, every town had a Christian bookstore run by the churches. Their churches are a little different than ours in terms of how they're structured, but you don't need to know of that. That's not really important. But every town had a Christian bookstore run by the churches. And the churches, the way their towns are set up, they've got a big market in the middle of town. That's where all the restaurants are. And then off of the market, coming out like fingers, there's these little streets. And every Catholic church and every Protestant church is wide open during the day. So you can come in and look at the architecture. Some of these buildings have been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And part of our travel, Jennifer and Miriam and myself, was to go to these places and notice the difference between the Protestant churches and the Catholic churches. And it was interesting to see what churches said when nobody was there. What their architecture meant, what their windows meant, what their statuary meant. Miriam and Jennifer and I, Miriam at 2 years old, learned what all these different symbols meant. The triangle meaning the Trinity. We learned about all the different symbols. This symbol here of the world and split into three parts, perhaps a Trinitarian symbol there. Jesus ruling over the world on the cross. Different symbols, different statues in every place. Mary was very easy to identify because she almost always had a lily in her hand, often dressed in blue. We would go in and we would identify. Even at 2 years old, you can identify what Mary looks like or what the sign of the Trinity is in a church. When we came back, this was a huge culture shock for me. When we came back to the United States, what was comparable to going to the Christian bookstores and the open Roman Catholic and Protestant churches in Germany? Where do you go and get that symbolism in the United States? Didn't happen. First 6 months of us coming back, within 6 to 8 months, Disney owned Miriam. Disney owned her. This girl who was pointing out Saint Sebastian, this girl who was pointing out obscure saints that you and I didn't even know, between 6 and 8 months later, she could identify each Disney character, and we didn't go and put in the movies and pop in the stuff. It was all through commercials and toys at Walmart and all sorts of advertisements. I mean, she wasn't a huge Disney kind of kid, but Disney had penetrated into her life through the television, through radio, through popular culture. The internet was sort of starting then. And this is a three-year-old. It's a three-year-old. The Spirit of God does not show up in Disney trinkets. It's tough. We're swimming upstream. The faith of Christians is trying to say where we can catch that Spirit in the bucket, where we can be prepared for that Spirit. The Spirit of God does not show up in Disney trinkets, but rather shows up in Spirit sightings that we can name and point to. Did you hear about the meeting? I bet you didn't. July 7th and 8th of July, 2017 in Leipzig. Churches from North and South Korea met to search for ways to cooperate and reduce the potential for war between North and South Korea. They met in Leipzig with international observers from other countries, including Germany and the United States, meeting together on the 7th and 8th of July of this past summer. Did you hear about it on the news? I don't think you did. I only found out about it when I Googled North Korea, South Korea peace process to see if there was one. Or did you find out that the North Korean Council of Churches on August the 10th, 2017, sent a letter, an emergency letter they called it, to the South Korean President Moon Jae-in, offering to mediate a peace process between the North and the South? Because they know that if war breaks out, this is a South Korean National Council of Churches, they know that if war breaks out, particularly if any nuclear war breaks out, it's going to spell not only trouble for North Korea and defeat, but it will spell all sorts of humanitarian, ecological, and other problems, radiological problems, with the South as well. They share a peninsula. They're not that far apart. The DMZ is right there. Seoul is within a very short distance of the border with North Korea. So have you read this letter, August the 10th? 2017, you heard about it on the news, you heard about it on CBS and ABC, it's been all over your Facebook page. No, I don't think so. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is alive and active. And I don't know what that moment will do, but I know those are the people on the ground. I know that those are the people whom the decisions that are made in Seoul and Pyongyang and Washington and London, those decisions in Tokyo, the decisions that are made in those cities will affect those people in South Korea, those Christians, and in North Korea, very much. And perhaps we should be listening to them because they're right at the epicenter of the whole thing. I propose to you that God is pouring out His Spirit, that God has decided long ago, before you or I were even born, that His Spirit can be poured out without measure, and that if we go looking, if we do a little bit of digging, we can find places where peace and reconciliation are important. We can find places where God wants us to grab our buckets and to fill up on His Spirit. But it's not going to happen automatically. It's not like going to the doctor and having them check your reflexes with that little hammer and then your knee kicks out, your leg kicks. It doesn't work that way. But you can grab your bucket and you can say, God, I'm ready. Teach me through your Bible lesson. Teach me through this worship. Teach me through the witness of Christians in South Korea and in North Korea and in Syria and in other tough places around the world. All we have to do is be open. Say, God, I am ready for you to pour out your Spirit without measure. I'm ready, Lord. Amen.